Are you ready for new dimensions and countless possibilities today and for the future? It's an exciting new time, and the answers are out there. So join Mary Jane Popp as she explores the unique and unusual for a better life on Pop Talk in search of the truth. And here she is, Mary Jane Popp.
And welcome to Pop Talk. Have we got a good one for you this hour? A little bit later on, Dr. Susan Smith-Jones is going to join us. And we're going to be talking about self-esteem. It seems like people are not, they're not feeling that they're worthy. You know, I am not worthy. Well, you are. But we're going to talk a little bit about that and how you can build your own self-esteem, high self-esteem, not only just, you know, I am what I am, what I am. But before we do that, we've seen so much with the Olympics and just ordinary folk finally coming out and talking about mental health issues. And you know what? It is about time. So hang in there, because we are going to give you some ideas on how you can turn your life around and make it for the best it can be.
Everything turn, turn, turn. There is a season, turn, turn.
There is a season and there's a reason. And mental health issues that at one time were kind of swept under the rug have come to the forefront. And it's about time, because everyone has to deal with some of the issues. Now, Dr. John Huber certainly understands. He's the chairman for Mainstream Mental Health. It's a nonprofit organization that brings lasting and positive change to individuals that suffer from mental health issues. Now, Dr. Huber is also a clinical forensic psychologist, so I have to watch what I say, and a mental health practitioner. Nice to have you with us, Dr. Huber. It's been too long that we haven't talked.
It is such a pleasure, and it has been way too long. But, you know, the world has, you know, we've had some hiccups, and
We
are.
Yeah, you're right. Is it that we're more open now talking about mental health issues? I mean, they've always been around, right?
Right. I think, you know, a lot of things have changed, you know, just since 2019. We have all these different things that have gone on, and you know, whether it's the pandemic, whether, you know, we're upset about whatever the political climate is in Ukraine or Canada or here in the U.S.
Yeah.
All these things just are compounding on top of everything. Inflation and our everyday lives, you know, it's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you and I talked a minute ago about, you know, we're not part of the ruling class, so we don't know the plan. They're
yeah.
not telling us,
no.
you know, so it makes
they
it
never
unusual.
Do.
They never do, and it doesn't matter who's in office or what, you know. And so we have to learn to take care of ourselves. And one of those things, you know, that has come out, you know, the CDC before COVID, for example, said average about 20-22% of our population has some sort of diagnosable issue.
Wow.
About 10-13% of that population, actually, it's so severe they actually are actively seeking help.
Wow.
And are seeing patient or seeing doctors and stuff, therapists and like that. But after COVID, that 20% to 23% went up to 55%. But the problem is, it's still that 10-13% of people is all that's actually actively engaged in trying to get help. So now we all have the symptoms. But more of us have the symptoms, but statistically, fewer of us are getting help for those symptoms.
But at least
I like to use symptoms instead of diagnoses.
Yeah.
And the reason why is, I, you know, if I'm billing your insurance company, they make me give you a diagnosis. Okay.
Uh-huh.
So I get the closest thing. Most people don't fit every single diagnosis perfectly to a T. So I get a close diagnosis, and they give this as option of not otherwise specified, an NOS diagnosis.
Got it.
The problem with that is, you know, the insurance company has this formula. You have this disorder. They expect, okay, you're going to get better in 8 sessions.
Yeah.
Well, that's an average. That's not you. You might not get better for 20 sessions,
yeah.
or you might get better in 3.
Yeah.
You know, we don't know that. And the real reason for a diagnosis is not to tell you how to treat and how many sessions and what drugs to give and all this kind of stuff. It is so I can give continuity of care. So let's say you're out here in Texas on vacation and I give you a diagnosis something that's happened here. Now you can go back home and tell that diagnosis to your practitioner, and they'll continue the treatment of care working towards those behaviors and things that we work at.
Yeah.
So well, I'm in a place now where I don't take insurance. So my patients come to me, and if they're asking me for a diagnosis, I'm like, you know, what's the purpose? Because a lot of people think once I have a diagnosis, then I have an excuse for these behaviors.
Yeah.
So I say, let's stay away from diagnosis. Let's see, what are you doing? What behaviors are you exhibiting? Which ones are functional? Which ones are not functional? And let's change the ones that aren't working.
Okay, so let me ask you. I mean, we're finally talking about it and out about it. But, you know, I remember a time, and I bet you do too, when politicians couldn't even be emotional, and if they cried, oh my gosh, they're not fit for office, you know.
And still, I don't think they can today, even honestly.
Really? Okay.
But, yeah, because I think it's all, you know, which one's acting, which one's being honest.
Well, that's true.
You know, again, we got that ruling class, and we're not part of it. So.
Yeah. But, you know, it's about time we do talk about it, but I don't know about getting help. I'll be honest with you. Never sought, but I'm open and talk about things. A lot of people don't do that. They're afraid to, or they feel ashamed of doing it, which they shouldn't, but they do.
Or we're somehow broken or not ever going to be successful. And that's another reason why I don't like giving a diagnosis, because you may fit that diagnosis today, but 6 months from now you may not.
Yeah, that's true.
So and unfortunately, a lot of these diagnoses stay with you for years, if not for life. So, again, if I can avoid giving a diagnosis, now there's actual reasons, like I said before, when I need to, and one of them, the biggest one, is continuity of care. Mm-hmm. If you're like, hey, I don't think I'm making enough progress with you, I need to go to see a different therapist or a new psychiatrist or whatever, okay, here's your diagnosis, I'll forward your records when you get a new patient or a new doctor, and I'll send them to you.
Yeah.
And then you can go on and work with the modalities that doctor works with or whatever. But it's a scary thing to say, hey, just think about everybody who got COVID with everybody dying. It was a scary thing. What we don't know the future. We don't know if this medication is going to work. Is the vaccine going to work?
Yeah.
Are the treatments they're going to give me, are they going to work? And it's even worse with mental health issues, because we don't share. We don't talk about your depression. We don't talk about your anxiety.
Well, we're afraid somebody's going to judge us. Don't you think?
Say that again?
We're afraid that people will judge us.
Oh, absolutely, because it's not the flu. You know?
Yeah.
And people, like, you know, I took a mental health company public, and the investors, the initial investors, were like, well, why don't these people just get over it?
Yes.
And I'm like, if they could get over it, they wouldn't be seeking help.
Yeah, there you go.
You know, and that's kind of a trick. If you're feeling down and depressed, and you go for, say, 6 weeks, and everything you do is not helping, and nothing seems to work right, that's when you need to go seek professional advice before it gets really entrenched in who you are. And it's sad to say that, but the reality of it is most of us in this culture are trained to pay attention to negative stuff. You know, from day one, we tell our infants, no, don't do that, no, don't do that. Then they go to kindergarten, no, don't do that. And in first grade, no, you need to listen to your criticism. You need to take it better. Nobody says, how do you take positive feedback?
Nobody teaches
you to do that. So when you do something well, and your teacher, your parents, your coach, your doctor says, hey, that's great, I love what you're doing, we immediately make excuses. Oh, it was easy. It was, it's just a fluke, I guess, you know.
Yeah.
And we don't know how to take that positivity. So whenever we have an illness, you know, for example, let's just look at something like attention deficit hyperactivity disorder.
Yeah.
And, you know, for adults, that can be a symptom of depression. You know, the whole ADHD symptom group cluster can look like depression for an adult. And sometimes I know doctors who give their patients the diagnosis of ADHD, because if they give them depression diagnosis, the patient wouldn't come back.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, because who wants, you know, ADHD, who wants to be, I take some stimulants and I'm better, you know?
Yeah.
And what we do know, there's a lot of people, I mean, love him or hate him, you know, Elon Musk, early in his career, his ADHD Some say it's bipolar. I haven't actually seen a diagnosis, but the symptoms are similar. But he would stay awake and work on things for days at a time, very almost hypomanic, not quite full-blown mania. But he could stay focused, and he would work through issues in his companies straight through instead of having to work on, 3 hours on Monday and a couple hours on Tuesday. And, I mean, that's all he focused on. And he was wide awake, and he did it. And then, he came up with the answer, and he was able to rest then. Mm-hmm. Don't worry.
He's got a chainsaw. He'll take care of everything.
Right. Well, that's but the thing is, I'm using that as an example because there's
a lot of other very
successful business people who've used ADHD to their advantage because they see the world from a different viewpoint.
Yeah. Is depression,
we shouldn't be negative.
Is depression the most prevalent health issue, mental health issue?
I think it's the most common, therefore probably the most prevalent. We can talk about post-traumatic stress disorder. Depression is part of that.
Okay.
We can talk about schizophrenia. Depression is part of schizophrenia. If you talk about bipolar disorder, you got mania and depression together, so depression's part of that. Grief and loss, depression's part of that. So all of these, there's a pretty common denominator of depression across a lot of mental health disorders.
As a doctor, how do you know what causes the depression and how to handle what causes the depression?
Well, I think you're asking part of the question right. You're asking what. Most patients walk in with the question of why am I depressed?
Oh.
And that's the wrong question. The what is the question that we need to do because these diagnoses that we have in mental health are behavioral based. So let's change the question a little bit. Instead of what is causing the depression, it's like, what are these behaviors getting me?
Good question.
Am I getting something or am I getting out of something?
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you stop blaming. Why is a blame game? Why did you do that to me? And instead of what did you do to me? You fed me bad food or you cooked a great dinner, whatever. Why would you do that? And to nourish your friend, nourish somebody you care about. But what is the depression doing? Are you hiding from something? Are you just upset at somebody and you can't admit that you're upset with that person? So you turn that upsetness into anger, and then you turn the anger back on yourself, and it becomes depression.
Wow.
So
what about all these athletes during the Olympics that came out, Michael Phelps, I'm depressed, and they go into a funk, and he's got 7 medals. Isn't that enough? What's your problem?
It's really interesting. I'm blessed to have some amazing clients that are really, well off in the 1% kind of situation, and people would go, why are they upset? Why, they've got all this stuff. They don't have to worry about bills. But they have to worry about other things you just can't imagine. Your world changes as your world changes. And something that you may say, get over that. I did it. Well, they may not, because maybe they don't have the friend support network because they think everybody's looking at them like a bank. Are they going to be my friends because they want to borrow money from me?
Yeah.
And, so are they really my friend, or are they just somebody trying to use me? So all of a sudden, these wealthy, well-off stars and actors and everybody else, the people around them, they have put up barriers that you can't see, but they feel, the person themselves feel, between them and all these people who could be manipulating and using them.
I have to tell you, I've got a cousin. And she is so anxiety prone, but I mean, she has more issues than that. I mean, she's claustrophobic, but the anxiety. And I understand because she has a situation that's very difficult with one of the family members, and she's trying to handle it. But I keep saying, okay, let me give you. This is what you should do. She couldn't find a key and went berserk the other day. And I'm going, stop it. Sit down. Take a deep breath. And if you lose keys, find one place to put all. I mean, I'm trying to think as logical as I can.
Right.
Put them all in one place. Because she says, "Why? I don't remember where I put it." Well, if you put it all in one place, you'll remember one place. Maybe you won't remember 10 places.
Well, that's the problem that I have. And about 5 years ago, my daughter got me a bunch of tiles.
Yeah.
And I didn't think I needed them, but, oh, my God, within 3 days of putting the tiles on my keys and my briefcase and, you know, my travel backpack and all the different things that I have, I was so glad I had those things because it just made my life. I just push a button on my phone and it rings in the desk drawer.
Oh, there you are. You know.
Yeah. So there are some things that modern stuff. But you know, I was resistant. Oh, I don't need that. I don't need that. You know, I'm a grown adult. I can find my stuff. But you know, it's the old joke that the husband and wife comes in and the wife is like jealous that her husband might find somebody, you know, more attractive at the new job and everything. And then, you know, halfway through, she goes, wait a minute, he always asked me to find everything. He can't even find, you know, the milk container in the refrigerator. He can't find anybody else to replace me.
There you go. You got to think positive about yourself. How about social media? I mean, that is almost scary to this point.
Stay away from it. That's my recommendation. It's it runs off, you know, we used to joke about it. The comedy channel had short attention span theater that every 15 minutes it would change a new, and then it went to 7.5 minutes.
No,
it would be a new stand
up
for short windows. and you know, the best behavior management people I know are the people who make these games where you get reinforced every 15 to 45 seconds and it keeps people in that game. Life is not like that.
No.
You know, you go feed the cows out on the ranch, you know, and you're going to go haul the hay, you're going to do all that stuff, but you won't see the cows for an hour and a half, you know, after you start working. And then you may have to go chase them down, and then you sit there and watch them eat, and then you haul all the equipment back. I mean, it's life is much slower than video games, and social media is a bad reflection.
You know what's even worse? Not necessarily worse, but doggone on the same plane. The news. Don't, especially at night before you go to bed, do not watch the news because you won't sleep.
Yes. Well, you know, I do ketamine assisted psychotherapy, and one of the rules for my patients are they're not allowed to watch the news for 24 hours after I give them.
They probably go insane.
Well, the ketamine itself basically turns off most of our
inhibition.
Our inhibitory process that stop us from doing crazy things or believing different stuff. So all of a sudden, now you're vulnerable to all that negativity. So it's a no go as far as that's concerned. And when I have patients, I have some patients who come in and they fly in from out of state, in some cases out of the country, and we'll get them, you know, an Airbnb for a couple of weeks, and we go through and take all the televisions and stuff out of it. Now we put them back in when they leave. We put them back in, but we clean all the televisions out of there, and then we give some support personnel in there. And the rules are they get their phone for 1 hour a day, and whoever is there is able to be in the room with them and look over your shoulder.
Oh my.
Because we don't want the negativity. It's, you know, why would I reinforce that?
Well, you know, what I don't understand, Dr. Huber, at one time it was tried. They had radio shows. They had TV that tried good news, went after good news. And it wasn't popular. No. Nobody wanted to see it.
If it bleeds, it leads, remember?
Yep. I mean, you got to pick up the Globe or the Inquirer, you know, two-headed person or whatever. You know, all these crazy
hey,
things.
Hey, now, I've been published by the Inquirer. Don't give them such a hard time.
Okay. So if I was by the Globe, but, you know, it's just.
Oh, okay.
But
fair.
They didn't get the story right, but that's okay, you know.
Well, you know, they actually, and it's funny because in everything they've written that I've given them feedback on, they quoted me word for word. They did not change a single thing.
Oh, which one? So, the Inquirer?
Yeah, in the Inquirer.
Okay,
and
mine was the Globe. So, maybe they're not as proficient.
Yeah. Well, you know, it is what it is. I didn't give them much to play with, you know. You know, so that's...
Yeah, read my lips. Just kind of say what I say. But social media, let's be honest about it, it's here to stay, and it's taken over. What worries me is the young people who don't know how to do anything except social.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
Because in 2010, through about 2013, there was a significant increase in children and adolescents with mental health issues, and that's when all the social media stuff kicked in.
Oh, okay.
And they stopped spending time with their friends. And, you know, I started my career as a school psychologist, so I do have some school systems who do call me and ask me to do things for them. I was up at a school district out of town earlier this week. I mentioned that to you yesterday. And, you know, I go in there, and I go into cafeterias in the high school, and there's no noise because everybody's texting each other.
Yes.
They're virtually sitting there with their earbuds in, not paying any attention to the person they're texting, who may be right next to them.
Yes, that's scary. I've seen that at restaurants, you know, husband and wife or a couple, you know, and they're texting instead of talk to each other till the food comes. For God's sakes, what's the matter with you?
Exactly. Well, and I have exercises for couples that come in. And one of them is, you know, that they have a date night every week. But each week, they switch who's responsible for the date.
Ah.
And they're not allowed to tell the person they're taking on the date, their spouse, you know, where they're going. All they're allowed to do is tell them how to dress. And when they step across the threshold, they get that person's cell phone, and they put it in their pocket or in their purse. And that's every week. It rotates.
I like that.
So, yeah, and there's a lot of other things I do, little nuances and stuff, but they're kind of tricky if I can't give you examples and stuff, so I don't want all your, you know, listeners to go and try something and have it make their relationship worse or anything like that.
Yeah, they're just going to come out and go, it wasn't right, Dr. Huber. You know?
Exactly. I'm not making any, you know, go talk to your therapist.
Yeah.
Because there are very specific rules, too, because, you know, you want to avoid any conflicts. You don't want to create new ones. So, yeah.
Oh, I don't know. Shake it up a little bit. You know, a little bit of, you know, not bad, not real bad, the whole bad.
Yeah, well, who wants boredom, right? You know, we got to do something to make it a little exciting.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so how do we know when to get help, or do we?
Well, you know, sometimes we don't. Sometimes we don't see the forest for the trees.
Yeah.
But, you know, if all of a sudden you start feeling like people are avoiding you, you can't get out of a funk, you just have no energy level that is responsible, you know, getting up and going to work is work. It's not just getting up in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have a lot of friends who talk about how it hurts so much to get out of bed. And I'm like, you know, getting out of bed is not what hurts to me. It's getting off the floor that hurts me.
Yeah. So. I'm with you.
So we have to kind of put things in framework. And if you've been trying and the things you're working is not getting you out of your funk, you know, you can't shake it off, and you need somebody to give you a little direction. And it's just coping skills and learning, you know, how to cope in different situations and reframe things. For example, you know, what is a crisis? And doing what I do, it's only a crisis if somebody could potentially die.
Oh.
So otherwise,
that's
pretty extreme,
Dr. Huber.
But you know what I do. I mean, you know, I'm in hospitals, and I'm seeing patients.
Oh, yeah.
And if every time, you know, a patient calls me or leaves a message on my voicemail service saying something like, oh, I just can't get through the day. It's so hard to sleep at night, and I think I'm going to quit my job. You know, yeah, that's important and that's significant, but that's not a 911. A 911 is I'm on the bridge and I'm getting ready to jump.
Oh, boy.
You know,
and I
you have to prioritize.
Yeah.
I mean, because if not,
I'm curious. You know, some people get up and they kind of blow it out of proportion. I'm going to, you know, commit suicide. How do you know when they are or not?
Well, you know, again, this is something, it's very complex, and I don't want to, if you're ever like that, call 911, talk to
someone. Yeah, talk to somebody. Yeah, you're right.
But, you know, it's tough. I mean, doing, you know, the forensic work, some patients are doing this just to manipulate the court system. I'm going to kill myself, so blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
Well, I can't treat any of them like manipulation.
Okay.
So you say that to me, we're going to the hospital.
Good.
You know, and the natural consequence, you know, oh, well, I took some pills. Okay, well, we're going to pump your stomach and give you some charcoal slurry. And you know, when you're hungry later, we'll have something from the cafeteria for you.
Terrific.
You know?
Now, what's your website?
My website is being worked on right now. But otherwise, when it's back up, it is Mainstream Mental Health at Mainstream Mental Health
dot
at org.org. So, yeah.
Dot org?
O-R-G.
O-R-G.
Yeah, it's also in com, but, you know, .com. But,
got it.
It's down at the moment, right? So.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I hope you'll come back. We covered depression this time. Next time, I want to cover stress because, man, there's a lot of
That's a scary one because we need stress.
I know, but the right kind, not the wrong kind.
Yeah, eustress.
Yes.
Instead of distress.
There you go.
Exactly.
I like that. Dr. Huber, as always, it's a pleasure. I'll look forward to our next time. We won't be near as far as you go away as you did this time.
I hope not.
Okay. Thank you.
All right, Mary Jane. Thank you so much. And I hope your listeners got something out of this.
Absolutely. They always do. And you take good care of yourself, too. Okay?
Yes, ma'am. Talk to you soon.
You
bye-bye.
Bet. Coming up, hey, we're going to be talking about self-esteem. Do you have it?
Some may see a sprinter. At the NFHS, we see a future leader already off to the races. Some may see a volleyball player.
One hit! Way to go, girl! Woo!
At the NFHS, we see a spike in confidence that will help her achieve her potential. What else do we see? Musicians learning to march to their own beat. We're the NFHS, the national leader and advocate for high school athletics and activities in America, helping today's teenagers develop the skills they need to become tomorrow's leaders. And we see it happening in communities across California every single day. Learn more about the NFHS commitment to youth at nfhs.org. This message presented by the NFHS, the National Federation of State High School Associations.
And your air conditioner gives up the ghost. Who are you going to call? ACP Mechanical, that's who. I did, and I can't believe what a great job they did in my home. It's cool and comfortable with a job well done. Hi, Mary Jane Pop here. Whether it's cooling or heating, Enrique and his ACP Mechanical team can install, repair, commercial or residential, no matter what HVAC system you have or want. And they've done it for over 20 years. Air conditioners, heat pumps, furnaces, thermostats, all quality and affordable solutions, and they're bonded and insured. I know you'll love their work. I do. Call ACP Mechanical, 916-704-8556. That's 916-704-8556 for all your comfort needs. That's ACP Mechanical, 916-704-8556, and expect an expert job well done and right the first time.
As a veteran, you get a lot of advice, but wisdom's harder to come by. A lot of people imagine themselves in our shoes without understanding the weight on our shoulders. The truth is, few can understand the pressure of finding your own way after serving in the military. But few isn't none. Steady yourself. You're not alone. You've got support. Learn more at maketheconnection.net.
Just what makes that little old ant think he'll move a big rubber plant? Anyone knows an ant can't move a rubber tree plant, but he's got high hopes. He's got high.
I kind of like that, high hopes, you know, because we got to look at each other and say, hey, we can do it. We got to trust ourselves and trust our instincts and trust our words, or maybe we should be careful with our words. I don't know. But do you have high self-esteem? Do you need to create a loving relationship with you and maybe even God? Well, maybe some tools to achieve your goal is what you need. Time to check in with Dr. Susan Smith-Jones. Can't think of anyone better to do it than Dr. Jones, who has made extraordinary contributions in the fields of holistic health, anti-aging, and balanced living. Now, she is founder and president of Health Unlimited. She is also an author. Her latest is a trilogy of books, Uplifted, which is 12 Minutes to More Joy, Faith, Peace, and Vitality, A Hug and a Mug, my favorite, and Wired for High-Level Wellness. So let's talk about not only high-level wellness, but high-level esteem. Hi, Dr. Jones, how are you?
Well, hello. I'm so happy in this topic on building self-esteem.
Define.
And creating a loving relationship with yourself. We've never talked about before.
No.
I've traveled the world talking to people of all walks of life, and everyone has issues with self-esteem, some on a regular basis, maybe others during challenging times. And it's part of living and part of being human.
Okay, but define self-esteem. Define it for me. I'm not sure I know what it is.
Yeah, it's how you think about and feel about yourself. You know, but it's not just about feeling good. It's really about survival, and it's about health, because it's about making sure you're not constantly at war with yourself, wearing yourself down, you know, until eventually your body and mind give out. So, you know, what people don't realize is not loving yourself isn't just a mental or emotional issue. It can affect physical health in ways you might not even realize, like stress, anxiety, burnout, weakened immunity are just a few of the ways self-neglect can show up in your body. So this is so important, this topic of loving yourself, and it's absolutely non-negotiable.
Now, you also talk about, under that topic of self-esteem, it can cause chronic stress and anxiety if you don't have it, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, here are three ways that a lack of self-esteem can lead to sickness. So you just said chronic stress and anxiety. Honey, when you constantly criticize yourself and compare yourself to others or feel like you're not enough, your body stays in a state of stress. It's like stress releases cortisol, the hormone that's responsible for fight or flight. Mm-hmm. And a little stress is okay, it's normal, but when it becomes chronic, when you're constantly feeling inadequate, guilty, ashamed, your cortisol levels stay high and your body suffers, and you might experience frequent headaches, muscle tension or body aches, insomnia or exhaustion, digestive issues, even heart issues like high blood pressure and an increased risk of heart disease.
Okay.
And that's just one of the three ways. You know, another way that lack of self-love can lead to sickness is, and gosh, this is important, is a weakened immune system.
Ooh.
You know, we all do negative self-talk, but we have to catch ourselves because this self-hatred and negative self-talk, studies show actually weakens your immune system. The studies have shown that people who experience high levels of stress, depression, and self-criticism are more likely to get sick. So if you're always running on empty and you're never prioritizing yourself, you never speak kindly to yourself, you're more vulnerable to colds, infections, and even chronic illnesses.
Is it a good idea to have somebody to kind of, you know, be your cheerleader and say, hey, you're a good person?
And to call you on it, because sometimes it's such a habit.
Yeah.
You're hardwired to think this way, and you can't change what you don't acknowledge and recognize. And you know what often people do is they then, you know, the third way of how lack of self-love leads to sickness, and what we do is with unhealthy coping mechanisms.
Like what?
Like when we don't love ourselves, we often turn to unhealthy habits to numb the pain, like overeating, binge drinking, smoking, overworking, toxic relationships. And these are all ways to try and fill that void when someone doesn't feel worthy of love. But the problem there is these behaviors, obviously, only make things worse. They don't fix the underlying issue.
I always wondered why people turn to drugs. And I think it kind of dulls the pain, doesn't it?
That's right. That's absolutely right.
And if you, you know, isn't it better to embrace the pain and conquer it?
Yes, yes. And so much of this stems from lower self-esteem.
Mm.
Now, so what is, you know, I love to talk about, what does it really mean to truly love yourself?
Yeah.
So self-love isn't just about, although I love these, bubble baths and spa days. That's great.
But it's
also about how you treat yourself daily, how you think about yourself, how you speak to yourself, and how you show up for yourself. So there are five, I like to be practical, you know, five everyday ways to practice self-love. One is speaking kindly to yourself. Because, and you and I have touched on this a little bit in the past, you would never say to your best friend, you're so stupid, you'll never be good enough.
Mm-hmm.
But why do we then say those things to ourselves? So loving yourself means changing that conversation in your head and start replacing negative self-talk with kindness. For example, instead of saying, I'm such a failure, say, I'm learning and growing. Or instead of, I hate my body, I appreciate my body for carrying me through life. Or a big one people say, I'll never be enough. But you say instead, I'm worthy just as I am. Now, for decades, I've traveled the country and world giving talks at churches, Christian churches. And one of the biggest misconceptions at where I've given, by the way, workshops and frequently the Sunday services.
Mm-hmm.
And some Christian churches think it's selfish to talk about self-love. You know, like if you love yourself too much, you'll become prideful or self-centered. But remember, in the Bible, in Mark 12:31, it says, Jesus says, love your neighbor as what?
As yourself.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And that means we can't love others unless we love ourselves first. There are many passages in the Bible about your chosen and dearly loved, you're created in God's image. And I think if our loving Creator God of this universe sees you as worthy, valuable, and loved, who are you to think otherwise?
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, that's right. And so we have to set boundaries. Self-love also means not letting people drain you.
Yeah.
If someone constantly tries to make you feel bad about yourself, all right, it's okay to step away. If your job you do 5 days or more a week is destroying your mental health, it's okay to look for something better. And I think that boundaries are not selfish. They're necessary. And you don't have to be available to everyone all the time. You need to protect your peace.
Gotcha.
And then I'll just keep going.
Yeah,
the
next one is so important.
I know we have
3 hours. Yeah. I wish. Anyway, it's true. The next one, you say let go of shame and guilt.
Yes.
Guilt is the one. I mean, we always feel guilty about everything. I did it,
yeah,
but I could have done it better. Or I should have done this, or I should have done that, you know?
It's a habit.
Yeah.
And again, you can't change what you don't see is going on. This is all self-talk in your mind. Many of us do carry shame, maybe for our past mistakes. And we replay those old failures in our heads and convince ourselves that we're beyond redemption. And, you know, so I loved say Romans 8:1. I'm a Christian, obviously, but it's in this passage we're reminded that God has already forgiven you. The question is, will you forgive
yourself? Yeah.
Forgiveness is a big thing.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And then, of course, you know, I've said this to you so many times, that God has blessed us with this gift of a miraculous body. And one of our gifts back to God is to take care of our body. And I think we all need to do a better job at treating our body as a temple. Mm-hmm. And so for me, loving yourself means caring for your body, mind, and soul, because basically they belong to God.
Mm-hmm.
But that means what? Everything you and I've talked about for decades, eating nourishing foods, getting enough rest, avoiding toxic influences, speaking words of life over and to yourself. So self-care isn't just about you. I believe it's about honoring the body that God gave you. And there are three things over which we always have control: how we move, our exercise, what we eat, and hopefully nobody shoves the food and beverages down your throat. You decide what you eat.
Mm-hmm.
And what we think, and we are we're not in control of everything in our lives, but those three things we can be in control of.
Absolutely. And the other thing, you brought this up before, enjoy nature. Get out there and go for a walk, for heaven's sake, and get your nose out of the computer.
Oh, my goodness, yes. Like I wrote in detail in my books, Uplifted and A Hug and a Mug, I have a couple chapters in each book about the blessings and healing power of literally getting outside in nature.
Mm-hmm.
And appreciating the beauty around you and living with more gratitude. Because gratitude and kindness towards others and yourself, to little acts of kindness, when you do that, first of all, it lasts for hours and days, the positive benefit, and your brain lights up like a Christmas tree when you count your blessings, when you live more thankfully, and your brain releases then these chemicals called dopamine and serotonin, which make you much happier, more positive. And so I always say to people, don't wait till, the fourth Thursday of November on Thanksgiving Day to be grateful for all you have in life. Because the more grateful you are, the more you'll attract back to yourself more things for which to be grateful. Because what we think about consistently in our lives brings more of the same back into our lives.
Amazing. The other thing, and we brought this up before, but I love bringing this up, play with a pet. I've got two dogs, and they make me happy. I come home, and it might have been a rough day for some reason, whatever the reason.
Mm-hmm.
But just their barking, I'm so happy to see me, and the tail is wagging like crazy. It says, forget about that other stuff. Hi, guys, how you doing? You know?
So we have a lot to learn from these animals. First
yes.
of all, it's not just a thought you have that they make you happier, but studies show that those people who have pets are in general healthier and happier and more positive than people who don't have pets. And, you know, to be able to be in the presence of a pet who's always excited when you get home.
Yeah.
And how often do we do that when our partner or a loved one or you see a friend or your child comes home from school, whatever it is, to be genuinely excited and happy
yeah.
to see that person just can instill within that person such a feeling of, I am appreciated, I am valuable.
I am loved.
I am totally and completely loved.
Yeah.
And what a. And then I always like to say to parents when their child is having issues, if they come for this kind of session with me, I talk about how do you two appreciate each other? Because one of the biggest gifts you can give children is the mom loving and appreciating her husband and the husband valuing and appreciating his wife.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's how children learn. You even if you don't say much, to see how they interact together, you know, creates all these valuable lessons for the young kids.
Wow, that's amazing. The other thing, and man, I am guilty of this, and I've got to do it.
It's got to be sleep.
No. Well, that's, yeah. Declutter. Boy.
Oh, my God.
I've got so much I got to get rid of, and I'm like, oh, I'll do it tomorrow. And that's not a good thing.
Now, listen, most people do not understand how important it is to live in a clutter-free environment. Many people will say to me, when that's one of the first things I'll ask them if they're depressed or if they need to lose weight, whatever issue it is, or their self-esteem is low, I can pretty much guarantee that they live in a cluttered environment.
Yeah.
And then people will still say, well, it's organized chaos. I know where everything is. You know, I don't need to clean anything up. But multiple, countless studies have shown that when you clean up your environment, whether it's your home, your drawers, your closets, your cabinets, your office space, your garage, your car's trunk or your car, you feel on top of the world when you come home and you can easily locate and find things and there's not clutter all around.
Mm-hmm.
And many times I've talked to you about behavioral scientists have found that you can change a habit by doing something consistently daily for 21 days, like, let's say, drink more water, exercise every day. You establish new habits. Or if you give something up for 21 days, you'll no longer crave it. If you miss one of those 21 days, you've got to start back over again. But I'm not saying that you've got to do things for 6 months, 3 months. Most people can commit to 21 days. Now, if you're thinking about, well, I'll do a 21-day agreement with decluttering my house. Honestly, for most people, you need more than one 21-day session.
Okay.
You might need three 21-day sessions or four or five. But make it so easy you can't fail, because every time you say you're going to do something and you keep your word with yourself, you boost your self-esteem. And so you might say every day for 21 days for at least, and what could you do so easily you wouldn't fail?
I need 21 days just for my clothes.
Yeah, you could say for, because you have to do it every day to establish a habit. You could say for at least 10 minutes, I'm going to clean and declutter something like that kitchen junk drawer, a shelf.
I don't want. I like my junk drawer.
It might take 21 days for you to do all your clothes.
Dr. Jones, I'm sorry. I like my junk drawer. That one can stay. The junk drawer.
Oh, the junk drawer in the kitchen.
Yes.
Well, you can have it.
Okay, thank you. No.
Yeah,
the other one, and we have actually hit on this in the past, but I can't say it enough times. You know, you got to have a sense of humor. You got to laugh. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I did something and it wasn't what I wanted. And I went, so what? And I'd laugh at myself. And it felt good to laugh.
Yes, we do. We've got to, like, you know, when I, not long ago, I was in Scotland on a media tour and I stayed at a bed and breakfast. And in the Scottish little waiting room was a plaque on the wall that said, old Scottish saying, angels fly because they take themselves lightly.
Aww.
And most of us take ourselves and our lives way too seriously. We're supposed to have a little bit more fun than we often do. And again, you got to get good sleep or you get depressed when you wake up in the morning and go through your daily routine. And then as you boost your self-esteem, you will naturally be a happier, healthier person.
Oh, yeah. I know you're always nagging me about the sleep, and it's true. And is there anything we can do for sleep? Because is it because I'm getting older? It's harder to fall asleep.
We have just a couple more minutes, so let me just say to you in my book, Uplifted, you have all my commandments on getting good sleep. Everything from keeping the same going to sleep and wake up time. Your room needs to be cool, dark, and quiet. You need to wear natural fiber PJs and bed sheets, no polyester. You can't turn on a bright light at night to go to the bathroom because it shuts down your melatonin.
Can I have a little night light? I might trip and fall over my dogs.
Yeah, but you can have a faint night light.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, you can do that because it will just shut down your melatonin.
Oh.
And here's a little secret. We've talked about it before. I have my right thumb on my right nostril right now. I'm closing it off.
Okay,
and
I'm doing
it. And I breathe in for 3 to 5 minutes just out of my left nostril. Hopefully you don't have an allergy or a cold.
Yeah, I'm a little stuffed up today, so
yeah.
I can't.
Well, that changes your... Sorry. That changes your brainwave activity from beta, waking consciousness, to more alpha, theta. Helps you drift off to sleep.
Oh.
And then read something positive and like Uplifted or A Hug in a Mug before you go to bed. And don't watch the nightly news. And turn off your cell phone at least an hour before bedtime, and don't eat within 3 hours of bedtime.
Oh.
All of these and many more tips are in Uplifted and A Hug in a Mug.
Well, you know, Dr. Jones, I think we get so doggone busy that we don't give ourselves time for self-talk or self-esteem. We just don't. You know, we're too busy.
Exactly. And I want to say to you, and this is really important, I'm going to end with this.
Okay.
When was the last time you looked in the mirror and said, I love you? Not just a casual offhand way, but really looked at yourself in the eyes and meant it. And for many people, it's never, and that's heartbreaking.
I don't think I've ever done it.
Start doing that, because then that kind of makes you laugh. And I do that in the morning when I look horrendous when I wake up. And,
yeah.
I actually, every morning, to start the day off on a positive note, I sing that chorus from Oklahoma. Oh, what a beautiful morning. Oh, what a beautiful day. I've got a beautiful feeling. Everything's going my way.
I hope.
So that's a good way to start your day.
Yeah. I guess it's all a matter of knowing yourself, loving yourself, caring about yourself, because I always used to say this: if you don't respect yourself or care about yourself, how do you expect other people to do the same?
Absolutely. If you want a good relationship, it's not about finding the right person, it's about being the right person.
There you go.
You've got to start with self-love. And by the way, the subtitle for my book, Uplifted, is 12 Minutes to More Joy, Faith, Peace, Kindness, and Vitality. And in that book, I have over 100 practical tips that take anywhere between 30 seconds and no more than 12 minutes that will help you become a healthier, happier, more positive person and make your self-esteem soar.
But then you have to do it. Don't just talk about it, right?
But they're so simple, and they're all fun to do.
Oh,
Every one is like a cumulative effect. Every one makes you feel better and better. And I think a lot of people have between 30 seconds and 5 minutes. Because building your self-esteem and creating a loving relationship with yourself and God is essential if you want a healthy, happy, positive life.
But you got to do it. You know, we talk about it. Hopefully, we've encouraged people to do it. But then you have to get out there and do it.
Like everything in life, you start. You go 21 days. It will become a habit.
Yeah, there you go. Okay.
Yeah, and if you live with other people, ask them, people you trust, when they notice you're being negative, or does this make me look fat? Oh no, I have another wrinkle. Oh. Darn it, another gray hair.
Now, we're running out of time. I want to make sure they get the website and that they know that your books are in there.
You can find out more about Uplifted and A Hug in a Mug at SusanSmithJones.com.
And your newsletter.
Sign up for my Healthy Living newsletters right in the navigation bar. Follow me on X And there's a way under books, when you look at the title, to get autographed copies from me with a personal note card from me and a bookmark.
I love it. As always, a pleasure. I look forward to talking with you in April the 17th, and off we go. We're going to make life even better.
Thank you. And listen, everyone, go look in the mirror and say, I love you.
I'm going to get out of here and go in the bathroom and say it. Anyway, I love you, sweetie. Take care, okay?
Thank you. Celebrate life, everyone.
Will do. And I'll leave you with this. Stay close to anything that makes you glad you are alive. In the meantime, live simply, laugh often, love deeply, and above all else, you dare to dream.